love him? Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love him? Isn't he worthy, worthy, worthy? We love you, sweet Jesus. We love you, sweet Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. What a presence of the power of God in this place. Lord, we adore you. We adore you. You're the one we want, God. You're the one we want, Lord. We want to be in your presence, Almighty God. We want to feel you. We want to touch you. We want to know you. We want to walk with you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You are worthy of our praise. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. You are God and God alone. There's none beside thee. You're the creator of heaven and the earth. You're the Lord God Almighty. We praise you. We adore you. We exalt you. Oh God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We adore the name above all names. We praise you, sweet Lord of the heavens. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh God, you are worthy of our praise. Worthy of every hallelujah. Worthy of every thank you, Jesus. Worthy of every hand clap. Worthy of every shout. Worthy of every tear. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There is no greater gift than we can give to him than praise. Exalting his name, giving him our life, our heart, and our soul. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah. We're going to be reading from chapter 9. We are going to be reading verses number 1 all the way through verse number 7. Again, to our guests, thank you for coming and being with us. We pray that you have already been touched of the Lord, blessed of the Spirit of the Almighty God. And if you are wondering what you're feeling, that's what you're feeling. The presence of the Lord sweeping into this place, and we just kind of get carried away sometimes. We get caught up in it. We just want to be as close to him as we possibly can get and be there in his presence. Want to know him. Want him to be in every part of our life. And the Lord wants to do great things for you here today. you've never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost or baptized in the name of Jesus, the Lord certainly wants to do that for you here today. He came, gave his life, shed his blood on the cross. Of course, his humanity, God himself cannot die, nor does he have flesh and bones or blood. But he created a body. He dwelled in that body. That body lived a perfect life. He gave it as the Lamb of God. And now our sins are washed away by that blood. Amen. And you're surrounded by a group of people that have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Not a one of us in this place would claim perfection. We just claim redemption from what we were. And now just doing our best to live a better life. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. The her there, of course, speaking of Israel. When at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in the harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments roll in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of its government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to the order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth ever, even forever. My God, have mercy. I want to tell you today, Christmas is more than a holiday. Christmas is more than a tree in your house with a few presents underneath it, or a good spirit for a little while that seems to even to get a hold of the vilest man here upon planet Earth. Friend, Christmas is the time that we celebrate our God bringing light into a world that was dark. We celebrate our God breaking the bonds of bondage. We celebrate our God destroying the shackles and chains of sin. We celebrate our God who came into this world with a zeal and brought joy into the heart of men who are willing to receive it. Hallelujah! And I know I preached on a little bit last week, but I just want to tell you, as apostolics, we need to rise above the worldly spirit of Christmas. We need to come into the true meaning of what it is about our God coming into this world, being born in a manger, giving his life upon a cross, shedding his blood, that we might know him. Praise the Lord. A time that there ought to be more light shed about Christ than ever before. Satan has so taken this celebration and spread more lies than ever before. Men are blinded to what is really being celebrated and what is really being going on. And And they have put idols in the place of our great God and our great King. But we are not going to forget what He has done for us. We are going to scream it from the housetop. We are going to let everyone know what is really going on and what it's really about. And it's not the fat red guy in the suit sitting up on a chair putting kids in the lap. But it's the King of Kings that sits upon the throne in heaven. It's about Him. It's about Him. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I don't want to get off subject, but I just want to say this because it's on my mind. But shame on us apostolics if we let the worldly spirit get a hold of us and we get lazy with God during this time. My Lord, have mercy. This is when we ought to celebrate Him more than we've ever celebrated Him. We need to push through this old spirit that tries to get a hold of us, that's gotten a hold of this world, and we need to cleave to our God more than we have ever done it before. We need to hold fast to the truths that have been taught us. And we need to use the name of Jesus to break every demonic spirit that would bring blindness to the eyes of men. The Word of God tells us that when He came to bring light. But the devil's trying to blind their eyes again to His coming. We need to let the light shine out of our heart and out of our spirit and reopen the eyes of this world to what this is all about. That verse ends with these words, and I know I've had you standing. That verse ends with these words: the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, will perform what Isaiah, will perform the coming of the Messiah, who will redeem the sins of men, who will let go, who will break loose the bondage of men. It's going to be the zeal of the Lord. Have you ever met anybody that's zealous? Have you met anybody that seen they were going overboard about something? That means they're zealous about it. Imagine the zeal of God. When the zeal of God gets going, there is no devil in hell. There is no power on earth that will hold him back. I'm here to tell the church, the power of God is greater than any power of the devil or any spirit in this world. We can have church. We can have liberty. We can rejoice in Him. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm not going to hold us long today, but I am once again attacking the spirit of Christmas today. The spirit, the worldly spirit of Christmas is what I'm talking about. I want us to be a church that goes through these next couple of weeks realizing what is really going on and not get all caught up in everything that happens in the world to the point that we forget about what is really taking place. It ought to be that when we walk the aisles of our department stores, there ought to be some sick feeling on the inside of our stomach that curls from what the devil and this world and the government has turned this beautiful time into. When it should be a celebration, especially in a country that calls itself a Christian country. This there ought to be a celebration from coast to coast, from bottom to top, from every angle and every place, about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into this world. When Isaiah spoke of darkness, he referred to the oppression of Israel. God's people had sold themselves at this time into idolatry. They had followed after sexual sins and satanic idols. They had indulged themselves in cultic and occultic practices. They had forsaken their allegiance to their God. And the Bible tells us that God sent them a captivity unto Assyria. And it was a very dark dark time for Israel. Later as time went on, because they would cry out to God and God would come and resurrect them because he was their chosen people. They would go back in the darkness, then they would go back into bondage and they would cry out to God again. And God would go send a prophet or a man and deliver them and bring light to them again. Later came the Roman occupation, which brought darkness into the life of Israel one more time. The oppression of taxation, the indignities which were heaped upon the people, the sacrilegious activities which were placed in their sacred temples where they would go to worship their God. I want to compare that, if you please, to our day. I want to tell you that we live in a dark time in the world today, not just America, but in the world itself. We also live in a time where there is culture proliferation, where the New Age movement is sweeping across our generation, where secular humanism with its self-defined nonsense, the rampant of immorality, and the cheapening of human life, and they call it abortion, and the compound at all. All of this comes together and creates a cloud of heaviness and a cloud of darkness upon a generation that even at the moment when we are celebrating the coming of our Lord into this world, they can't see. Their eyelids are so heavy. The darkness is so thick. They can't seem to permeate. They can't seem to penetrate. They can't seem to realize that they ought to be rejoicing that there is a God that's coming in this world to redeem us and set us free from whatever it is that may have you bound. I want to tell you, God is the God of light. When God shows up, darkness has to flee. He started this thing out that way. It was dark, but God said, let there be light. And when God spoke light, everything illuminated. Come on, Apostolic Church. What do you say? We claim the light again. What do you say? We cry it out. Let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light. Isaiah spoke of a light that had yet to happen. He talked of it as though it was history, yet it was a promise to come. But that was the faith and the power of the prophets. They were able to talk of things as though they're in the past, yet they were yet in the future. Because when God's word said it, it will come to pass. Even though it's future, you can go ahead and count it as history, because it's going to happen. If God said it's going to happen, Isaiah 740 years before the light ever shined, he prophesied about this great Messiah, Jesus Christ, who would come into a world that was dark and would bring light to a nation whose eyes had been blinded, and eventually to a world who dwelled in darkness. And I want to tell you that this light was so great, it was so great that 2,000 years later, it still shines. It's shining in this building. It's right here in this auditorium. And no matter how dark your surroundings are, I've come to tell you, there's a light in this place that will outshine the darkness that is upon you, and God will set you free. Come on, somebody, clap your hands to the Lord. Someone say, it's a great light. Isaiah said, a great light shall come. A great light shall shine in darkness. John put it this way. He said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We live in a world today where men have made up all kinds of lights. They have the light of psychology. They have the light of education. They have the light of sociology. They have the light of wealth. All kinds of things that they try to use to light up their life. But I'm here to tell you, there's only one true light that was sent for man. There's only one who knows how to light up the heart, the darkened heart of a man. And that's the one who created him from the beginning. God understands your soul. He understands your mind. He understands everything about you. God knows how to light up your life. God knows how to expel the darkness of sorrow and the darkness of grief and the darkness of pain and the darkness of heartache and the darkness of depression and the darkness of confusion. He knows how to shine a light into your life that will give you direction and give you hope and give you joy and give you strength and give you a path where His Word will light up your steps if you'll let God come and do it today. It's a great light. Everybody say, because it's the true light. See, there's a lot of lights out there, but they're false lights. Some of you found out the light you were following was the engineer of a train. And you were going in the wrong direction. Because let me tell you, if it's dark and you can see the headlight of a train, you're heading in the wrong direction. Because that means that thing's coming at you. You've had all kinds of lights come into your life that you thought was going to do it. You thought that little baby, that little sweet darling girl whose hand you held was the light of your life. Till she broke your heart. And then you thought that new job was the light of your life till you got fired. And then you thought your youth was the light of your life till you got old. And you found out that all these things you held on to, they failed you on the right. They failed you on the left. Everything you had faith in, it's let you down. I'm here to tell you, man will let you down. The government will let you down. The world will let you down. Your friends will let you down. Your spouse will let you down. Your family will let you down. But I'm here to tell you, there's a God who will never leave you and never forsake you. He'll never fail you. He'll never let you down. When He picks you up, honey, and things get tough, He'll carry you for a while, but He'll always be there. He'll always help you. He is the true light. It's a great light because it's the true light. It's a great light because the darkness of this world cannot comprehend it. The devil has tripped you up all of your life. Everything you've tried to do, he's put a stumbling block in front of you and you've fallen over it. The Bible calls it the wiles of the devil or the trickery of the devil. He knows how to get in there, trip you up, mess you up, give you bad direction, give you false hope, cause you to lean on things that are going to crumble. But Isaiah said this light that's coming into this world, the devil, the darkness of the world cannot comprehend it. I've got good news for you, sir. I've got good news for you, ma'am. When Jesus comes to you, the devil can't mess with it. The devil don't understand it. The devil can't stop it. He may have messed with a lot of your plans. He may have messed up your future, messed up your hope, messed up your dream, but he can't mess up your salvation. When the light comes into your heart, he cannot comprehend it. He cannot understand it. God
God will do things in your life the devil can't wrap his arms around. God's got things planned for you. The devil can't understand it. He can't follow it. He tries to stop it. But every time he gets in the way, God just steps around. God knows how to lead you. God knows how to direct you. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. We've seen God start something in your life and the devil try to stop it. And then you watch that miracle of God come in and God put it all back together and God straightened it all back out. Somebody shout, devil, you're a liar. Shout, devil, you're blind to the things of God. Clap your hands and worship your Lord. He's mighty. It's great because darkness can't comprehend it. And if he can't comprehend it, he can't stop it. He can't prevent it. That's why the Lord said, Paul said, that work which he has begun. In your life, he is faithful. My God, have mercy. He is faithful to carry it out to the end because the devil can't stop it. Quit letting that devil lie to you. Quit letting that devil deceive you. He don't even know what God's doing in your life. He can't even comprehend it. He's blinded. He's confused. God's got a miracle if you'll hang on. Somebody shout, hang on. Can't comprehend. That word means he can't understand it. Woo! Watch this. It also means he can't seize it. He can't overcome it. He can't take control over it. The devil's mad because he used to control your life. But when the light came into your life, the devil lost control. I don't have to follow him anymore. I don't have to listen to him anymore. I've got a new voice. I've got a new path. I've got a new life. That's what Christmas is all about. Celebrate the light that came to the world. Clap your hands one more time to the Lord. He's mighty. Be seated. It's a great light. Because the devil can't comprehend it. No. He's ignorant. Can't understand it. It's a light that goes beyond unbelief. He came up to the Lord. He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Don't worry. It's a light that goes beyond unbelief. It has a way of penetrating the darkest areas of your life. It's a light that's hostile to atheism. It's a light that gives the death blow to doubt. Cults and occultics and untruths can't stand up to this light. I don't care who comes knocking on your front door. I don't care what kind of book they pull out, what kind of pamphlet they have. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to say, well, maybe I don't know enough. God said, open your mouth. I'll fill it up for you. I put the light in you. Don't worry about what you're going to say in that day. I'll tell you what to say through the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you, false religion, false truth can't stand up against this light. No wonder they start backing down, start backing out, start backing away when you begin to talk about this great light. It's a great light because dark can't comprehend it. It's a great light because it's the true light. Psalms 36 and 9 says, "For with thee is the fountain of life. Thy light shall we see light. In thy light shall we see light." God, if you'll just shine around me, it'll open my eyes. If you'll just touch me, I'll be able to see. You see, the world was dark when Isaiah wrote, but he talked about a light that would come, that would expel darkness. Darkness in an entire country. Darkness with an entire race. Imagine what that same light can do in your life. If he can walk down the streets of Israel and cast out devils under every rock, if he can heal the lame around every corner, cause the blind to see at every stop, cause the deaf to hear at every wave of the hand, if he can do all of that, he can walk into your heart, get a hold of that devil, get a hold of that world, and crush the life out of it, and raise you up, and give you a light that darkness cannot comprehend, but you will. I'm getting so old. And that's what I was talking about earlier, you know. You got all your faith in your youth, and then you get old. And you're like, hey, where'd it go? And then you look at your crazy kids and you shake your head and you go, dear God, what a waste. I've often asked the Lord, why weren't babies born lethargic? And then the older we get, the more energy we get. That way we can handle the little rats. You know, you just put them on the table, hook up a feeding tube to them, and say, I'll see you in a month. And then the older you get a little more energy. That way, when you get 50, you're ready to take on the world. The Lord gave me an answer. He said, if you were without sin, that would be great. But imagine what a world, what an older generation with the energy of the youth would do in an untoward generation like this. Hey, we serve a smart God. You know what he does? He says, just about the time you could really mess things up, I'm going to have you so old and tired, you won't have the energy to do it. This light came in, darkness can't comprehend it, but I can. I want to help somebody here today. You think the devil's got it all figured out? You think the devil knows your tomorrow? You think the devil has got it all figured out how to destroy you, honey? We got to turn this thing around and say, devil, you don't know nothing about me. How do I know that? Because the light of Jesus Christ shines about me, and devil, darkness cannot comprehend it. You got one up on the devil and you didn't even know it. He don't know what you're going to say next. He don't know what you're going to do next. He don't know nothing about you. God's got control of your life. Why don't you get up, stand on your feet, get a hold of the light that's in your life, and begin to tear the devil up that's in your family, in your marriage, in your children. Oh, I wish somebody would get a hold of this. You know, the devil can't read your mind. You can be seated. He put thoughts in it, but he can't read it. No. So you ought to be mean to him one day. Just be mean to the devil. Get up out of bed and go. Act like you're all depressed. Go sit down in a chair like you're all depressed. Like you're all tired. Oh. And just when you think he's dancing and he's all excited, just like, oh, I love you, Jesus. You're so mighty, Lord. Thank you for this great day. Thank you for this mighty life you've given me. Thank you for your blessings in my heart. Thank you for your blessings in my life. He can't comprehend it. He can't comprehend it. He can't understand it. Come on, apostolics. It's time to start tormenting the devil and quit letting the devil torment you. Shout with the voice of triumph. Woo! Just a few more minutes. The world was dark, but Isaiah said there's a light coming. There's a light coming that's going to expel the darkness. And he said, it's a great light. And then he said, it's going to bring with it great joy. Great happiness. Now I want to show you how messed up the world is. Well, it's so good to see both Brother and Sister Hugh on the same day. And their jobs never let them come to church together. I'm like, there's something weird about this. I want to tell you how messed up the world is. And how much the devil has blinded the eyes of the world in a time and season. And we understand Christ wasn't born in December. We know that. Nobody knows really when he was born. They estimate probably somewhere closer to July. However, so it doesn't matter. Whatever day. We choose this day. We do it. That's great. Doesn't matter. So in a time that we are celebrating the light of the world, when Isaiah said that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the governor upon his shoulders. And he said, he is going to be a great light. And he is going to bring great joy. Everybody say joy. Then somebody tell me why the highest rate of suicide is on Christmas Day. When the world ought to be rejoicing for the light that has come to this world. On the day when the greatest level of joy, Brother Cohen, should be in our hearts. Men are putting guns to their head and taking their lives. Women are slitting their wrists. Children are hanging themselves in closets. People are taking their lives because it has become what? A depressing day to them. Why? Maybe they lost a loved one. They can't get over it. Maybe their marriage has divorced. Maybe they're an addict to some kind of drug or addicted to something, whatever it may be. And at a time when superficially they feel like they're supposed to be happy, they're very, very sad. So what has happened is that the world has taken the season and they have twisted it and they have turned it and they have put into the hearts and the minds of people the wrong reasons for being happy and the wrong reasons for feeling joy. And when the season comes and they can't feel that happiness and they can't feel that joy, they take their life because the devil has blinded them that the very thing they ought to be excited about is that the God of the heavens has come to this earth. He came as a child to bring light and to conquer the devil and the pain and the depression and all the things that they're feeling in their heart. And that for that one moment, instead of reaching for a gun, if they just would have lifted their hands, if they would have just whispered his name, no wonder they took his name out of it. No wonder there's just a big X. No wonder he's now Santa Claus. No wonder they removed the devil, took all of that out. Because if men would call on Christ in this season, there would be a revival like this country has never seen. If we could get Christ back in Christmas, men would be redeemed. Children would be saved. A world would be turned around and darkness would be expelled. And God would be great in their lives. Clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise. I'm not going to hold us much longer. Isaiah said it would bring joy. The first joy he talked about in these scriptures we read today, he said it would bring the joy of the harvest. Isn't that what he came to do? He came to harvest first his own, Israel. He first came to the Jews. He came to harvest. Then the gospel was spread into Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the world. And he's harvesting in every country around the world. That's why we hear about these great revivals. For example, in Ethiopia, where 136,000 people received the gift of the Holy Ghost talking in tongues in one service. That's why we hear the great revivals in Mexico, the great revival that's taking place in Europe, the great revivals around the world, because he came as a harvester. And he said, this joy that he's going to bring, it's going to be the joy of the harvest. The fact that he is coming to shed his blood and redeem the hearts of men and break the bondage of sin. He said, not only is it going to be the joy of the harvest, but it's going to be the joy of the spoil. Like when somebody goes in, an army goes in and has a battle, and then the rest come and they start picking up the jewels and the food and the gifts and the swords and the weapons, and they claim this stuff for themselves, and they begin to walk home and they're full of joy because they wouldn't be able to afford it on their own. They couldn't afford that nice sword or that nice nice jewel or whatever it may be. But when they came in and they reap the spoil of the battle, they were able to go home and bless their family. Isaiah said, that's the kind of joy. What battle you talking about? The battle when Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning to the earth. The battle when the devil confronted him and Jesus said, be silent and come out of him and go into the pigs. The battle when they're blinded and he opened their eyes. What battle was he talking about? The battle when Jesus Christ is going to walk into your life and defeat the devil that has been tormenting you and your family and your marriage and your health. Clap your hands, clap your hands. I'm bringing it to a close. Don't leave me. Come on, don't leave me. Don't leave me just yet. Stay with this. Stay with it. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. What joy? I'll tell you the joy, sir. The joy that when God crushes that devil in your life, he crushes those thoughts he's been putting in your heart. Thoughts of suicide, thoughts of leaving, thoughts of this, thoughts of giving up. God is going to come and he is going to defeat that devil that is in your life, and you are going to reap the spoils of the battle. gather the spoils of the battle. Let's stand. I've got a little ways to go, but I know when the Christmas spirit's getting hold of you. Tired. Whew. How many of y'all ate too much this week? I did. You know I love y'all, but y'all can't all feed me on the same week. Let's spread this thing out a little bit. The joy of reaping the spoil of the battle. You see, you know what you've been fighting in your mind. You know what you've been battling in your home. You know what you've been battling in your school, with your friends, maybe with your parents, with your family, your children, your siblings, your job. You know what you're battling. Sometimes it's just things, but a lot of times it's the old devil trying to discourage you, trying to bring you down, trying to hurt you. God wants to come into your life, and he wants to fight this battle for you. The Lord said, the battle is not yours. He said, it's mine. Now, I'm going to tell you why you've been losing. Because you've been fighting your own battle. And if you can win your own battle, you don't need God. If the world could win their own battles, he'd have never have to come. He could have just stayed up there in his celestial city and could have said, fight your own battle. You can do it. The word of the Lord says he searched the heavens. And he looked for a man that would stand in the gap. He looked for someone that would fight the battle. And he said, I could find none. So he said, I rode up. I bare my own arm. You know what that means? It means I rolled up my sleeve. That's a universal language. When you see the guy I'm mad at, you're rolling up the sleeve. It's fight or flight time. You either stand and fight or it's time to run while he's rolling. Make up your mind. You ain't got but a few turns to do it. And that's what the Lord said. He said, I searched the heavens, but I couldn't find anybody to fight the battle. So I bared my own arm. I rolled up my own sleeve. And I came down to earth where I cast the devil a long time ago. I came down to earth. I said, okay, devil, it's me and you. It's time to go to war. And God began to beat up that devil. And God hasn't stopped tearing him up since. Lord, I wish somebody get a hold of this. And if you'll stop long enough from fighting your own battle, trying to figure out your own problems, trying to fix your own situations that you got your own self in a mess into, and if you'll back up today and say, okay, God, I can't do it. I can't fix it. I turn it over to you. I give this battle to you. Before this service is over, you will begin to reap the spoil of the battle. Because listen to me, you've been fighting him all your life. You've been trying to tear this turkey up all your life. You step back, it's going to take God about 2.3 milliseconds to knock him out. And you're going to go, man, I wish I'd have known how to do that. I'd have done that. No, you can't do it. That's the point. He'll take him out for you. And then all you have to do is enjoy the spoils of the battle. All you got to do is walk in there, and everything the devil took from you, you can just go and get it all back. Took my kids from me. God, I tried, but I can't. God, this is your battle. It's not mine. And you can just walk in there and get your kids back. Spoil of the battle. You can walk in there and get your joy back. Lord, I lost my joy. I used to love coming to church. I used to dance the aisles, but Lord, I'm so heavy now. I've just financial troubles and this trouble and that trouble. And Lord, I've just lost my joy. And you're trying to fight through and you're trying to win that battle. But today, if you'll just step back and say, God, the battle's not mine. It's yours. He'll knock that devil out. And you can step right up and get your joy back. You can get your faith back. You can get your witness back. You can get your strength back. You can get your marriage back. You can save your family if you'll give the battle to the Lord. Because that is what Christmas was all about. He came into this world to fight your battle. And all you have to do is reap the spoils. Today, if you were to make your way to this altar, and from your heart, repent to the Lord Jesus Christ of your sins, and say, God, I want you to come into my life. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He's just to forgive us of those sins. He'll break that yoke of sin in your life. He'll destroy the power of sin in your life. And do you know the spoil that you'll reap? Is that you'll lift your hands and the Holy Ghost will come into your life. And God will fill you with His Spirit. And you will leave this place with a joy that you have never experienced. Because Isaiah said He brings joy. He brings the joy when He crushes that devil in your life. The joy of the harvest. The joy of the reaping of the spoils of the battle. That's why it's a great light that's coming to the world. These altars are open right now. It doesn't matter if you've been living for God for 50 years. It doesn't matter. He's here to touch you. He's here to help you. He's here to bless you. We know how we do it. We give it to the Lord when we came to Him. But then somewhere down the trail, we start fighting our own battles again. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We find ourselves in a heap of trouble. And we lose the joy that the Lord brought us. What do you say we come get this joy of Christmas, if I can put it that way? You understand what I'm saying. What do you say we come get that joy back, church? Of what this season is supposed to be all about. The Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world. Jehovah coming off His throne, robing Himself in flesh, walking amongst men, the Messiah. They prayed for Him for hundreds of years at the Wailing Wall. And finally He came. The Messiah. He's here. He's in this place right now. He's in this building right now, and he's here for you, sir. He's here for you, ma'am. Come on. What do you say we come turn the battle back over to God? What do you say we come reap the joy of the harvest? We come reap the joy of the spoils of the battle. We give it back to the Lord. We let God defeat that devil in our life. We let the joy of the Holy Ghost come back into our life. And from this day, through this season, we rejoice in him for the reason that we should be rejoicing in him. And we're not going to let the worldly spirit of Christmas take it away from us, but we're going to remember what it's all about. A great light came into this world, a great light which opened up the eyes of the blind, a great light which expelled the darkness. The world and the devils brought that darkness back, but we can bring the light back. We can make the light shine again. We can call it out. We can shout about it. We can make it shine all over again. Everywhere as we go, we can cause the real light to shine, not this temporary light the world gives of buying things and stuff like that, but the real light. The world's going to know the difference. They're going to see the difference. They're going to know there's something different about you. Oh, come on, let's get that joy back. Let's get that light back. What do you say? Let's shine it out. Let's put the battle back in the hands of God. Let's give this back to the Lord. Are you ready to rejoice in him for a little bit? Let's do that. Let's do that in song. Let's rejoice in the Lord. He's a mighty God.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we're overcomers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He paid the price so that we can be overcomers. Hallelujah. For we are more than overcomers through him that loves us. Hallelujah. Jesus is the light of the world that causes us to overcome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Your light broke through my night, restored exceeding joy.
Your grace fell like rain.
Your grace fell like the rain and made this valley sing.
Your light
broke through my night, restored exceeding joy.
Hallelujah.
Your grace fell like the rain and made this valley sing.
You have turned
my morning
into
dancing.
Because of you that I'm free.
because of you, I praise because of you, and I sing because of you. But the third verse says that if you have joy, then you can leap. But let's just say you don't have joy. I believe that by faith, when you leap for joy, God will supernaturally give you joy. Not the joy of the world, but the joy that God offers us. So before we leave, I need to see everybody that is physically able, that has a left leg and a right leg, to leap. Now, if you don't believe it, then do what you like. But we're going to do it again as a church. Come on.
Everybody leap for joy. Leap for joy. Leap for joy.
Already. If you'll give me one more blessing, God, you have been born in righteousness.